know the Tooth Fairy. And I'm like, okay, it's August and we're talking Santa. But I see, yes, there's a tooth. All right. I thought about it for a second and I said, I believe they do. And well, I didn't realize I was opening a Pandora's box of many, many, many more questions. And so being a storyteller, I began to tell them stories about how these guys knew each other, how the Sandman and the Tooth Fairy and Jack Frost and Easter Bunny, how they all came to be under the sort of guidance of the Man in the Moon. That they were great heroic characters, that it was not easy doing their jobs, and that they had a most intense and powerful villain in the Boogeyman. Mm-hmm. And several nights into this, I went, you know, this is pretty good stuff. I might think about actually doing this as part of my career. I guess that was 15 years ago. And so here we sit. I'm talking to you about it, and it seems to have happened.
And you came up with the idea that they are guardians of childhood. What are they guarding against?
They're guarding against the erosion of childhood. They're guarding against the sort of heart and soul of childhood. More than anything, I think they're guarding against fear. Fear creeps into your life as a child, and sometimes it doesn't leave you. You know, there's this story about little kids. If you ask a room full of 5-year-olds, who in here can sing, and who in here can draw, and who in here can dance? And everyone will raise their hands. And you do that to a room full of second graders, and half the people raise their hands. And then you do it to a room full of fifth graders, and almost no one raises their hands. And it seems like along the way, they got afraid to put themselves on the line to show that they could do this. So the guardians are fighting against that. They want you to still think you can sing and dance and draw and be yourself.
We ask our children to accept all of these figures as fact, Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, the Tooth Fairy. How did that play into who these figures became as you started putting it all together?
You know, it's a weird thing, Bob. It's like there wasn't the great whimsical Icons Act of 1870. It just, you know, it didn't happen that way. It evolved over time and sometimes over centuries that we have come to want to believe in these fellows and want our children to believe in these fellows. And I thought that was an amazing development, you know. I don't know how exactly it occurred, but what I do know is that we as people, as humans, evidently need that and need there to be more. So it felt like some of them were losing their potency. People don't talk about the Sandman very much anymore, or Jack Frost. And I thought, God, you know, that's a shame. We got to do something about this. And it felt like they needed to have a magnificent origin. If Spider-Man has a good one, so should Santa Claus. So I guess I set about hoping to make them a little more Wagnerian.
What's the relationship between the books and this film? Are the stories connected?
Yeah, but in a weird way. I mean, I've worked in movies and I've been doing books since I first got out of college. And adapting your books into films or adapting books into films is it's like trying to do something with one hand tied behind your back a little bit. It can be as much of a burden as a blessing. Because everybody's like, oh, that was my family. If you always have to cut stuff out, you always have to, you know, there's changes you have to make. You have to make a good movie. And sometimes a good book does not make a good movie. So adherence to plot, things that work beautifully on the page, don't work beautifully as cinema. So I wanted to avoid that entirely. I was like, I will set all these books 200 years before the movie. I'll set up their worlds and their origins and their and tell you who they are and their relationship to the villain pitch, the Boogeyman. But the movie, let's just have fun with that, with what we know about their origins that the books present. Let's see what we can come up with that just expands on that. And DreamWorks was the only studio that thought that was a good idea. And so, in a weird way, it made our job a lot more fun and a lot easier. And as a bonus, and a thing that I really felt strongly about was, I didn't want the audience to know how this thing ended. I want them to go in and be surprised. So it's kind of unique in the history of publishing and filmmaking, but